Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Becker, along with Ash Mandalay. Hi, Ash.
Hello.
Ash is back from doing the play-by-play / broadcast at Pikes Peak. We have a lot of F1 headlines to talk to you about today, as well as a preview of the Austrian Grand Prix. But before that, Ash, I want to hear about your weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. If you haven't heard of Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, definitely look it up. Essentially, we have big manufacturers like Ford and Hyundai and stuff like that, and Honda and stuff. One, there's different classes. So there's something called exhibition where usually the manufacturers come. Ford, right, brought their Mach-E, and you're trying out your cars and seeing if they could make it from an elevation of 9,000 feet around to 14,115. And air density is a whole thing, right? Because whether you have a naturally aspirated engine or a turbocharger, like you need air to do the suck, squeeze, bang, blow of what engines do. Like, oxygen's a very important part of getting your car to move, even with a turbocharger. So it's usually like a lot of mechanical failures, and it's also really physical on the drivers. Because I live in Charlotte, which is like barely any kind of feet above sea level, right?
Right.
So very easy to breathe. Lots of air molecules around me. But as you get higher up in altitude, a lot less air molecules, to say colloquially. And it gets harder to breathe. It was definitely tough for me. We went to the Rocky Mountain National Park as well beforehand to get acclimated and just check out the national parks.
Yeah.
And we went, I think the highest we went was 7,000 feet at the Alpine Visitor Center. Mm-hmm. And even there, I was like, whew. Like, it just felt something was pressing on my chest, and I couldn't get a full gasp of air. Wow. But the base camp where we were broadcasting from, essentially, was at 9,000 feet. And drivers had to go to 14,000 feet. We did drive up to the top, which was beautiful, but it's crazy how winded you get just walking around normally if you're not used to that kind of elevation.
Yeah.
But it was very, very cool. We unfortunately had to run a shortened course due to very high winds. Drivers are saying it was about like 60 to 80 miles per hour up there. So it was just relatively unsafe. Because also with the elevation, you lose downforce because there's not enough air to do the whole air to skid above the car and push the car down.
Right.
Equal and opposite reactions and stuff. So didn't want anyone to get blown off the mountain, God forbid, knock on wood. It's dangerous enough as it is. 156 turns you have to know to do well and do in less than 10 minutes.
So the Pikes Peak Hill Climb, though, is it an exhibition or is it a race or is it like a time trial?
It's a time trial. It's a time attack. Everyone has one chance to go up the track. And rookies, they haven't pieced together a full lap. They have driven up the mountain, but they haven't like raced up the mountain. So usually because this road is a public road, 364 days a year, except for this day, which is Pikes Peak International Hill Climb. So a lot of people don't piece together a full entire lap till the day of.
Wow.
So it's also kind of dramatic. And you can build your own car. Someone built an Audi Quattro from pictures and a 1/16th model as a guide. So yeah, this is really grassroots meets the huge OEMs, like we're talking about Ford and stuff.
Yep.
There's a hydrogen car, which is cool, driven by Dai Yoshihara. So you have really incredible drivers. And then if you get the top time, regardless of what category you're in, you get the moniker King of the Mountain. And I got to meet Michelle Mouton. For those of you who don't know, she's a four-time World Rally Champion. And she's also the only woman to have the moniker King of the Mountain because she had the fastest time. I think it was 1984 it was.
Yeah.
So
How far apart are the cars spaced? Do they let someone do an entire run and then they send someone, or do they space them a few minutes apart?
Yeah, they'll space them like halfway.
Okay.
So Yeah, it's a full length. I think every 5 minutes or so they try to send a car up, but because we shortened the course, it was really quick back to back. I think it was like 2 minutes or something like that, even less. Probably two minutes honestly, because I think the times were around 4 and 5 minutes, so it was like every 2 minutes or so. And it's and the broadcasting. So yes, it was tough, and I understand this is a first world problem. What I'm about to say. Now imagine this schedule if you're a driver, a camera person, someone on the team working on the car.
Right.
Our call time was 12:30 a.m. in the hotel lobby. So I slept the night before a little bit from like 8 o'clock to like 11-ish, trying to grab some kind of sleep, some kind of hours. Call time was 12:30. And they opened up the mountain early for media and folks who were working the race, drivers, et cetera. So we got there like 1:30-ish. And the camera guys have to grab all their lunches, all their meals, any food, water, and everything, and bring it with them because you're not coming back down. Like, you're stationed up there. So you just try to pack as much as you can on your person and bags and things like that to go to your camera post and stuff. And then we got to sleep in the car for a little bit longer. So two to 5:45, like in-and-out sleep, because we're right by the main road. There's only one road up and down, of course. So a couple more hours sleeping in the car. Yes, I will have to go see a chiropractor sometime this week.
Oh, no.
And then we do tech checks because the broadcast started at 7. Mm-hmm. But essentially, because there's one road in and one road out, and this was a sold-out event, which is awesome. And if you came, bless you, because I don't know how fans did it. Getting up there, it's cold, right? It's not. It's windy. It's crazy.
If you attend, where do you watch it from?
From the side of the mountain. You're just sitting on your chair. It's just wild. You're just in this national park, or a state park.
Are you just watching the cars go by at that one vantage point, or are there screens as well somewhere?
No screens. You're just watching at that one vantage point. Or if you like set yourself up, there's a place called Devil's Playground, because when lightning strikes, the lightning dances around there. So it's called Devil's Playground. If you set up there, I think you can see some of the car coming up. Unfortunately, we didn't get the full course because of the wind, but if you sat up there for the full course or ever have, you'll see some of the cars coming up at certain points and then past you, of course. Yeah. But so there's certain vantage points you can definitely get, and then otherwise you just see the cars coming past you at that one time.
Wow. So I'm sorry I don't know the answer to this, but you're people who are working on the broadcast go to the top of the mountain, cameraman, whatnot. Are there restrooms up there? What do you do? Do you dipe it up? Like, how do you?
There are restrooms. There are restrooms. It unfortunately, at the top of the mountain, we knew it was so windy because porta potties were just blowing over on the side.
Oh my God! Really?
It was bad. Yeah, it was windy, and I know people on the YouTube live got pissed. They're like, "Why aren't we driving up the whole entire mountain?" Blah blah blah. I was like, if every single driver, if all 73 drivers agreed that this was a good call, I think you can deal with it too.
Sure.
I get it. We want to see the full Pikes Peak Hill Climb. I understand everyone does who is here in person and paid to see this event, as well as registered and has a car built for this and wants to see what they can do.
Yeah.
But safety-wise, because you're throwing rocks and debris and the gravel, it's slippery up there. Again, no downforce. You got to move this stuff, clean this stuff up. God forbid it gets stronger. Also, like, safety-wise, it was just the right call.
How far up did they end up driving?
Only to 11,000 something feet. It was mile marker 13 on the mountain, so it's not too bad.
So is that like 75%?
It was like half the course. Let's just say half of the usual course around, or like a smidge less. I was talking about it with one of the racers, Rob Holland, and I was like semi joking when I said this, but I was kind of also thinking about it more and more. I'm a little serious that it should be called the Quadruple Crown. So, right, we have Le Mans 24, we have the Indy 500, we got the Monaco Grand Prix. They all test different kinds of racing, different times of strengths and capabilities. I think a hill climb and something as infamous as Pikes Peak should be a fourth event, because that is crazy.
Is there a navigator in the passenger seat? It's just a driver by themselves.
It's just a driver.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they don't have, I'm guaranteeing they don't have radio because it gets lost.
Okay.
When you go up the mountain in a certain way. So I'm sure for like the short runs, you can for like qualifying runs. But even then, I don't think they have any kind of radio communication with their team.
Would you do a broadcast like this again?
I definitely would. It's definitely one of the most challenging things I ever had to do. And I know I have to still learn a lot, but I think I'm pretty proud of myself for the first time. We had to like kill 2 hours, which was frustrating. And then we should really just turn off the YouTube comments. People don't think. I get it. You want to see cool shit. But, like, we need to do our job. Right, sure. Me and Kyle are not in charge. Kyle Heyer, who was the lead commentator, and bless him, and Texas Dave, who runs a Riley School in Austin, and he has run Pikes Peak, I believe, 11 or 12 times, and he's won his class. He was the pit reporter to the, on the top of the mountain where they finished.
Cool.
They were so cool. They were so chill. But people were like, why are we racing? Why are we talking for 2 hours? I was like, we're talking for 2 hours because we keep repeating, and Kyle keeps repeating, that it is windy, it is dangerous, we're reassessing the road, it takes time. This is a mountain in a state park at a crazy elevation. The wind is insane.
Yeah.
The weather is just insane. It can turn on you on a dime. So we only had a handful of mechanical failures. And I believe that's because, of course, we didn't go in the full elevation.
Yeah.
So the change wasn't that drastic and the cars didn't have to work hard. Also, excuse me, at a higher elevation because you have less air molecules, the way that air cools things is just... So your turbocharger is working harder because it needs to push the air through. But because there's less air also to cool down the turbocharger, or cool down your brakes or any of your liquids, that also can lead to failures. So it's just very cool overall of like machine and man and nature. And I can't believe in like 1906, even before that, because it only stopped for World War I and World War II. They're just like, yeah, let's go do this. Let's just do this for 103 more years. This sounds great.
Yeah.
Because I think now drivers, I think every single driver has oxygen in their car, so it's easier for them to breathe once they like move the elevation so quickly. It's definitely insane.
Well, I'm so glad you had such a good experience.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was nice. It was, when you're there, everyone's just really chill. Again, some people built their cars in their garage and drove it around. Someone had a stock BMW M2 that he got from a dealership because he has a BMW partnership. So like that's cool. But then you have big manufacturers like Ford. You had the hydrogen car. And it was just everyone was super kind. And it was about the racing. And it was about cars. And I was like, this is nice. And I think you might attest to this, or I'll be a little bit more blunt, that in Formula One, sometimes certain people that we deal with, either other creators or whatever, sometimes it's very undermining. And it gets weird, and people like swing their dicks around about what they know and don't know, and who they know is so important, and who's paddock club. There's no paddock clubs here. You're on a side of a mountain. We're all freaking cold. We've all been here since 1 a.m. because we freaking love this. And I was like, this is kind of nice. This is nice that we're all in here together. And everyone's so helpful because they know you have to hydrate, so everyone's making sure everyone's drinking water, sunscreened up, you having a good time, do you need something? Like, these people had no idea who anyone was when they were asking these questions, making sure everyone was okay. And everyone like could crowd around the cars, ask about the build, the modifications, regardless of what questions they were. There was a lot of men and women in the crowd, which was awesome. Like a lot of little kids, a lot of older people. So it was just nice to see the diversity in the crowd and stuff like that in something like a hill climb in Colorado. Yeah. I was really surprised, but it was so chill. I would 100% do it again. It was rough. I might have to rent an RV and like camp up there because I don't know if I can do that. Sleep, wake up, sleep in a car again. But, you know, I'll do it again if I have to. That was sick.
Get a Sprinter van or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then I got, this usually has a bandana on it. I'm holding a stuffed marmot, which is a unofficial mascot. Muffles the marmot after a muffler. So it's a little, usually has a Pikes Peak bandana, but I don't know where it went.
Did you see any marmots at IRL?
Yes, I saw one on Friday when we went up to the top of Pikes Peak, and I saw some on Rocky Mountain National Park. When we hiked up there the days before, but none the day of, we're too low of an elevation, I think, where they were. And they were also oh, they're not up here. We're going to hide up here instead and deal with instead of dealing with these people. And they were finally not up our mountain.
I love Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
All right, let's get into it, folks. Let's talk some motorsport headlines. First up, the Las Vegas Grand Prix gets a 2-year extension. Albeit with the intention of keeping the race around for much longer. You would assume so, since Formula One paid to build the paddock building in Las Vegas.
Which they haven't really used to its full capability. I know there's a go-kart track there and some stores and stuff, but there's offices.
Now they've started opening it. There's what you're referencing is Grand Prix Plaza, which trying to make it more of a tourist destination where they can receive visitors year round. Cause I remember going to Las Vegas for work and I'm like, oh, I want to check out the paddock building. And it was like, nope, not open to the public. And so at least it's open now. But you noted in our outline that the Las Vegas Grand Prix was originally announced as a 10-year deal.
So yeah.
it's a little weird that this announcement was made.
Right? Yeah, it's right. If it's supposed to be for 10 years, but now you're making another announcement that's definitely going to be here for another two. I'm starting to think that these 10-year contracts really mean nothing. If as strong as the paper they're written on, essentially. So there's also been some chatter of the race being moved to Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Not saying Seriously? That's confirmed or not, but like, yeah, exactly. So I think they just wanted to quell and squelch those rumors and chatters. Because the city of Vegas is really annoyed, as in the people, of the amount of traffic and complication that comes with this race. So you have a purpose-built track, and you can drive, you can do stuff around it over there, away from the city.
Right.
So I think saying, hey, we definitely have two more years, you're going to deal with this, is kind of a way for the city and F1 to tell the people, like, hey, we're staying in Las Vegas, and we're going to deal with it, and we're going to work together. So
that'd be so interesting if they moved to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, because I feel like that's a relatively older track, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the facilities are a lot different, and people will denote that Las Vegas Motor Speedway has held other events. I think, how old is it? 1972. That's what it was. Yeah. And I know people were like, oh, it's an oval. And yes, F1's not going to obviously run an oval.
Yeah, IndyCar's run there before. NASCAR, obviously. But that would be very surprising if F1 went to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I think folks just don't like the Grand Prix around their town causing so much traffic and complications and stuff. But they're going to deal with it definitely for two more years, and I think that was a good sign.
I mean, I feel like F1 is there to stay given their investment in the paddock building. They need to make their return back, unless they end up taking such a bath on it, they have to sort of, you know, cut their losses. But I don't see the Las Vegas Grand Prix going anywhere.
There's definitely tax deductions, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If I don't know how much,
right?
But yeah, helping build this track in Las Vegas. That's all. We'll stay there.
All right. Next up, Italian media outlets coordinated with multiple stories alleging Fred Vasseur's job at Ferrari as Ferrari team principal is at risk. Are these just rumors?
It's the Italian media, baby. That's how it rolls. He said it's not the case in a very heated interview with the FIA, where he called the allegations stupid. You can read the 2025 Canadian Grand Prix Friday press conference transcript on the FIA.com, where they ask him this question. And the question was, now can we talk about Italian media? Lewis Hamilton was in here yesterday, and he dismissed recent criticism of you in the Italian media. What's your take on it? And he goes, I have to stay calm because I'll have to finish to the stewards directly. It's some Italian media, not all Italian media. It's not about myself, I think, because this I can manage. It's more about the people of the team to throw their name around like this. I think it's just disrespectful for them and for their family. We already had a case like this last year, other names this season. I don't know the target. I don't understand the target. Perhaps it's to give shit to the team. But in this case, I don't see the point. And he just kind of keeps going. There's a lot more. I don't want to speak any more about the stupidity. That's how he ended it. And this is completely disrespectful.
I mean, I guess that is typical Italian media. Like, if Ferrari is not in first place in constructors and having a driver in contention for the World Drivers' Championship, they're going to start these rumors that the team principal's job is in jeopardy.
This isn't the first time the Italian media has done this, but I also wanted to note for folks who may not know, this is not a pointing attack on the Italian media. This happens in a lot of media spaces. In the United States, it happens all the time, where if a team we think is not doing well, I personally do not like Aaron Rodgers, but there's a lot of media around him constantly because he gets the clicks and whatever, and so he's constantly under a microscope. Currently, Travis Kelce, because of who he's dating, right? There's all this media depending where you are and what your sport is. So in Italy, in Ferrari, they definitely kind of really double click and look under Ferrari in a microscope and all their results and everything.
And in regards to the Italian media's attitudes toward Ferrari, to pull a quote from Talladega Nights, se non sei il primo, sei l'ultimo, which is Italian for if you're not first, you're last.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, James.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Next up, IndyCar has postponed once again their new chassis introduction for another year, pushing it from 2027 to 2028. What are we doing? We keep delaying the new chassis for IndyCar. I feel like it was supposed to be out like years ago.
We constantly talk about this as IndyCar fans. So the chassis itself is actually on schedule. The engine regulations are still unfinished, and manufacturers want an 18-month lead time to construct and test all those PUs, and we'll need 50 completed engines per manufacturer. So it's just everything has to work out together. So there's
so
a delay.
So it was the new hybrid that threw a wrench into things?
Well, that in addition as well, yes.
Because isn't the current chassis in IndyCar like 12 years old?
It's not good. We haven't had a new change in like the rules, kind of like Formula One does pretty regularly.
For those of you listening who aren't super familiar with IndyCar, every car has the same chassis. It's manufactured by Dallara, which is an Italian manufacturer. And I believe they've had the same one for 12 years.
Dallara also does the Cadillac V-Series .R chassis. So it's not just Dallara just doesn't work on IndyCar. It works on hypercars, et cetera, and things like that.
I also think they make the chassis for Haas F1 team.
So, yeah, they know what they're doing. It's sure. Just unfortunate that other things keep them from completing their job, such as the engine regulations and teams not liking the new hybrids and drivers and stuff. So I think they're trying to revamp it and fix it. And there's rumors that Honda wanted it, but now they might be leaving IndyCar. There's a whole whispers around the paddock, which is frustrating because they're the ones who like led the charge on this.
Whole other can of worms. If you are listening and you're not super familiar with IndyCar, there are two engine suppliers in IndyCar, Chevrolet and Honda. Honda is always threatening to leave. It's like constantly a will they, won't they situation.
That's an abusive relationship.
It is. And I know both engine manufacturers ideally would love there to be three or four total engine suppliers in IndyCar. They would love for them to not just be two. They would love for a new one to come in. But right now, Honda and Chevy is what they have. I know Honda specifically was really pushing for them to have a hybrid engine. So IndyCar said, okay, they have it. The teams don't like it. The drivers don't like it, especially on ovals, because it adds, I believe, another 100 pounds to the back of the car and has been messing with the balance. And you've seen a lot of drivers who are very experienced, very good drivers crashing because they're struggling with the weight balance. So it is something that IndyCar needs to figure out, and hope we can find a solution that makes everybody happy.
Just want to race. We need cars, IndyCar, please.
Just want to go real fast and real left. Next up, Derek Warwick was suspended as FIA steward for the Canadian Grand Prix, but is to be reinstated in Austria. Why was he suspended, Ash?
He gave an interview about Verstappen's penalty in Spain, which is a penalty he ruled on, to a betting website. He also critiqued other stewards. Talking about stewarding decisions is a public no-no for FIA stewards. So it wasn't the betting website. I just want everyone to be clear. He didn't get in trouble for talking to a betting website, which is ridiculous in itself. If you are in the United States of America, you know how ridiculous that is. because how strict we are. I know betting is huge in the United States with FanDuel and all this other stuff, but having a steward or having an umpire or a ref, they get in so much trouble for if on betting or if they have any whiff of betting. There's a whole Shohei Ohtani thing and his interpreter. It's a huge no-no. I understand we make a lot of money from it, and that's a separate issue on itself, but right. We're very strict on who's allowed to bet and work in sports. I'm pretty sure if you work for any sport agency, you cannot bet on the sport itself. Like, if I worked for the Charlotte Knights here in Charlotte, North Carolina, who's a affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, I would not be allowed to bet on MLB stuff.
Sure.
This is very, very strict. So it is always surprising to me when they're like, when a previous steward also got in trouble for talking to betting websites. And fun fact, I heard, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, cannot name my source, they get paid $10,000 for their quotes to these betting websites.
They get paid $10,000 to give interviews?
Yeah, to these betting websites. Listen, around $10,000. I won't get sued for defamation.
If any betting sites are listening, I will give you an interview. I will not make branded content for your betting site, but I'll give you an interview.
They don't want your interview, James. They want someone's working there. And it goes back to that conversation. Are they doing these interviews for these betting websites as FAA stewards? Because you don't get paid to be an FAA steward. You get a stipend of like a couple hundred bucks a weekend. So they're like, okay, to supplement my stewardness and my time, I'm going to take this betting website's interview money for my job. Yet again, they're not in trouble for that. Derek Warwick is not in trouble for the betting website thing. He's in trouble because he criticized steward decisions, which is why he was not a steward for Canada. And he's coming back for Austria. He apologized. He said, my bad, blah, 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 blah. But he can still continue to give interviews to betting websites, to casinos, online.
Remind me again, stewards are not paid, right?
No, they're not.
Okay, so he made 10 grand, he got a race off, and now he's back.
Yeah, but again, it's not because of the casino thing. So he could have just kept giving interviews for 10 grand, around 10 grand.
Yeah. I guess if you want a vacation and some extra cash.
Critique your stewards.
Give an interview. Yeah, critique your stewards.
He could give an interview not critiquing and still make 10 grand and not have a vacation. But I guess if you do want that vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need
to pay our
stewards.
The issue wasn't that he gave the interview. The issue is that he critiqued other stewards' decisions.
Correct.
Got it.
So yeah, talking about stewarding decisions in public, like critiquing the FIA in general is a no-no. Sure. That will get you on their shit list.
Yeah.
And then if you double click into that, it gets worse and worse, especially if you're a steward and you're like, this decision, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the casino and betting websites will never fail to astound me. Ever.
Yeah.
How that's allowed.
I want to ask all the FIA stewards in an interview what they think about the FIA collab posting with MBS's personal Instagram page.
They're going to be like, wait, do we get extra money if we do that too?
I'm going to bait them. I'm going to be like, do you think MBS is clout chasing?
James, I hate to break it to you. They will never allow you to interview an FIA steward.
But I have the hat. I have the FIA hat.
You should get a shirt and like the navy pants and see if you can like sneak into the stewarding room.
That'd be so funny.
And start making decisions.
All right. Next up.
Liberty Media acquired a majority stake in MotoGP. Finally approved. It has been approved recently. MotoGP CEO Carmelo Ezpeleta. Growing in America is our main goal, he says. We will do as much as we can to be increasing our popularity in the United States.
I still have yet to watch a MotoGP race. Have you?
Oh, you're missing out, dude. Yeah.
I mean, I hear it's great. Everybody says it's great. I only have time to watch so much. You know what I mean?
I get to watch Valentino Rossi's final years, which was, I mean, he's still alive. He's racing in, he's racing in sports cars. Sorry, that sounded so ominous. So that was really cool. But then we have some really good personalities. I like Fabio Quartararo, and I mean, Marc Marquez is obviously the GOAT, but I feel like everyone's going to say that I'm just picking the most popular driver, which is fine. But the races are short and to the point, to be honest with you, right?
How short are we talking?
Half an hour, if even.
That's it?
Yeah, dude.
All right, then maybe I can get into it if it's only half an hour.
The issue is the timing, right? I mean, obviously, it's really heavily European-based championship, so the time is usually... They do race around the world. Let me make that very clear, but a lot of the races are in a very odd time for myself on the East Coast, so I can't imagine James on the West Coast. You'd be up at those times watching. Yeah. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., things like that most of the time. So it's a little rough, but the races themselves are sick.
When they do a MotoGP race during a race weekend, do they only do one race or do they do several?
So they have sprint races. Sometimes there's just like a regular race weekend. Sometimes there's a sprint format to it, similar to F1 where it's multiple. But usually it's just – they do come to COTA, by the way, which is fun when you hear them complain about how F1 fucks up the racetrack. Yeah. And then they're like, you need to fix this. Like, this is terrible for bikes. I'm glad you fixed this for F1, but this is terrible for us because we're on two freaking wheels. Can you imagine?
Right.
So definitely recommend MotoGP. It's interesting that they say growing in America is their main goal. I think this is because we're all – the money is right, and why F1 has Vegas, Miami, COTA, regardless of what your thoughts are. All the merchandise that they make specifically for these races.
Americans
we buy
merch.
A lot.
Yeah.
That's true. We buy a lot of money. We buy a lot of stuff. We spend a lot of money here.
I feel like
unfortunately.
A merch is more of an American phenomenon than it is in Europe.
Yeah, especially customized or one-offs, rare stuff. The t-shirts made for just this event that you're attending.
Limited
Very
drop.
Nostalgic.
Take my money.
Speaking of one-offs, or maybe not one-offs, NASCAR is looking to race in San Diego as another street course. I'm so excited. That's sick. I don't know where. Someone brought up in my Discord a very good point of no idea where they would actually have a street course. Unlike Chicago, there's not enough space in San Diego, maybe down by the port, but that would cause probably some security issues.
Yeah, what would they race on? The PCH? Where are they going to go up and down from like San Diego up to Encinitas and back? what are we doing?
Apparently they visited San Diego and they scouted some locations. So, yeah, you can't.
Is it really going to be San Diego, or is it going to be like Carlsbad? Or is it, are they going to be doing, are they going to be doing laps around Legoland?
Is there room in Carlsbad? I'm like looking at this map. I was like, there's a lot of, of course, state parks to the right of the coast. A lot of federally protected land. I don't know if they want cup cars ripping through.
We don't know how long that's going to be federally protected, though. They could pave over that for a NASCAR race before we know it.
Oof, too soon. Too sad.
God, these guys are so... this podcast is so political.
God, I can't believe we talk about fake things like global warming. And also, starting this weekend... and starting this weekend, NASCAR in-season bracket challenge starts at Atlanta. They'll be head-to-heads against your favorite drivers. They'll denote them on the car with like stickers, like you'll see it like they do for the playoffs. It's usually yellow if they're in the playoffs. So in-season bracket challenge, they'll do race per race and then kind of keep going. So if you fill out your bracket, you have a chance to win $1 million, kind of like they do for college basketball, et cetera. And then the driver who wins the bracket challenge will win also $1 million.
Wow. So is it like an in-season tournament situation?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun gimmick.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Supposedly, NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott, had no idea this was happening when they interviewed him a week ago.
Yeah.
Which the rest of us did. And maybe they could be pushing it more. They have been marketing it a little bit with some videos from other drivers on their official social media sites, and they'll probably talk about it on the broadcast, but... this weekend also TNT starts broadcasting for NASCAR. The past couple of races it's been Amazon Prime, which has done a fabulous job. So we'll see what they talk about.
Chase Elliott doesn't seem to be that, well-versed in things happening in the country or the world. Okay, well, that NASCAR in-season bracket sounds like a real humdinger. Let's move on to the Austria Grand Prix.
Let's get your fun fact corner, James.
Let's do Fun Fact Corner, brought to you by the good folks at Lights Out Blog. This week, we have the Austrian Grand Prix at the world-famous Red Bull Ring. Known for its high-speed straights, demanding corners, and steep uphill climb with a dramatic braking zone in Turn 3 down into the middle sectors. Track length, 4.318 kilometers. Not going to convert that to miles because I'm too tired to math. Race length, 306.452 kilometers, 71 laps, 10 turns. Circuit opened in 1969, and its current form, I believe, It's been in its current form since like 2014. Formula One has been there off and on since the 60s. We've had 38 Formula One Grand Prix held there. Fun fact, 24 races have been won by less than 10 seconds. That's pretty fun. While 17 races have been won by less than 5 seconds. We have 14 wins from pole, 23 wins from the front row, 15 wins from third or further back. And the furthest back anyone has ever won the Austrian Grand Prix is P14 as a starting grid position. But that was all the way back in 1977. So take that with a grain of salt. Last year in 2024, race was won by George Russell with Oscar Piastri and Carlos Sainz Jr. rounding out the podium. But, of course, we need to remember that George Russell essentially inherited that race win because of the quote-unquote cool fight that happened between Max Verstappen and Lando Norris, dropping Lando out of the race and relegating Max to P5. Do you remember
that?
Was
it a cool fight? Norris
that's
in a...
That's what George Russell said in the
corner. Oh, sorry. I was like, saying that. I was like, I don't know if it was cool.
So George Russell was in the cool down room watching the race highlights, and they showed the highlight of Max and Lando making contact, and George Russell goes, that was a cool fight right there. And then Oscar Piastri goes, yeah, it was a cool fight because it gave you the race win.
No, Oscar's not wrong.
But yeah, there we are. That was our fun fact corner. Thanks so much.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Some storylines you want to look out for? Not a sprint race weekend, which is nice for the first time in a while. So.
Thank the Lord. Tired of these sprint race weekends. And now we're stuck with them because Gatorade is the, you know, title presenting sponsor of them. But still think sprint races suck.
James is never being invited to a sprint race weekend.
I'm fine with that.
It's going to be hot AF in Austria this week. The weekend starts around 28 degrees Celsius, which is 82 degrees Fahrenheit, with the race start going to be at 30 degrees Celsius, which is 86 degrees Fahrenheit. That's air temperature, so don't forget about the track and just how hot it is.
Bad day to be a Mercedes.
Yeah, the heat is not going to help out with a lot of components of the cars. So we'll see if there's any mechanical failures. That'd be very interesting to look out for. And hopefully the drivers are obviously going to be okay. That's first and foremost. And the fans. So if you're out there, please take care of yourself.
Yeah, make sure to hydrate.
It's going to be scorching. And wear sunscreen, please. Or like, be sun safe. You can wear long sleeves, a hat, breathable material. But yeah, be sun safe.
Big
it's currently
hat.
97 degrees in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It is so hot.
It is... I don't think hell is this
but
hot.
But this is natural light, right? We're not going to talk about the climate narrative.
James is so mad about that comment still. I love it. Mercedes picked P2 back up in the constructors, right? Russell went in Montreal, Kimi on the podium. Can they keep going? Are they going to fight with Ferrari back and forth just a little bit more and keep that consistency? So yeah, Ferrari's not, again, doing where people, not ending up where people want them to be, kind of a lot lower. They're still in the top 10. Getting closer to the podium, at least Charles Leclerc definitely is. It's kind of frustrating for a lot of Ferrari fans and the Italian media, of course. But can Mercedes be consistent? Because they keep going back and forth depending on track conditions and the weather. That'd just be interesting to see if they can keep it up. We didn't talk about this. James Vowles signed a new long-term contract with Williams. We don't know for how long. And for how much money, but whatever. I don't care how much he gets paid. They have a lot of faith in him, which, I mean, pretty good if you're a team principal.
I think he's doing a great job and deserved. That extension is well-deserved, and I'm big fan of James Fowles. Happy that he's staying.
Yeah, good faith in him, which is like good faith in the team, right? They like believe what he's doing, and what he's doing is working. So I hope that gives, you know, it feels good with Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon not having to worry about too much because they know him. They developed that relationship. So hopefully Williams can do better than they've been doing the past couple streaks. And what's in store for McLaren post-race incident, right? Norris did take full responsibility. But will they let them keep scrapping? Team principal Andrea Stella kind of made some cryptic, broad quotes after that race that they'll review what happened and they don't want this obviously happening again and we don't want to ruin cars this way. So will they let them keep fighting or not is going to be interesting if it gets there.
Right.
I hope they do. I hope that nothing changes. I hope they just let them keep.
Too. I mean, right now they can afford to, I think. They have such a comfortable lead in the constructors. If what they're really worried about is Oscar and Orlando's World Driver Championship run. You know, Max still is in striking distance. You know, he's in third place with 155 points. Lando in second with 176. Oscar in first with 198. They could afford a DNF or two.
Sure, but I think it just looks bad, right?
Sure, yeah.
You don't look like you're a team anymore, yeah. Which is always rough in Formula One to talk about this way because, yeah, drivers are individuals, but then you're also part of a team. So you want to look out for yourself, but it's the team. And then what do sponsors think if one car is DNFing and or not finishing or they're fighting and taking both of each other out? I want them to keep fighting, but you can't keep fighting responsibly. Like that's how it works in racing.
I'm sure George Russell, who's sitting P4 in the driver's standings, is hoping for another cool fight. Right.
Oscar came out on top. Luckily, his car did not get too damaged in that fight.
George Russell is like that meme of the guy in the yellow suit behind the tree, like rubbing his hands together.
Oh yeah, just waiting. No, I think they've learned their lessons, and I think it'll be interesting. And then can Nico Hülkenberg do it again? And by that, I mean, two races so far, he scored points and done well in the Sauber, which no one saw coming. And last year in Austria, he finished P6. So can he score points yet again for the third time?
Yeah.
And can he do it again from last year? And just keep doing well. Shout out Nico Hülkenberg.
Shout out
he's
Nico
back,
Hülkenberg.
Baby.
This is the closest he's going to get to a home Grand Prix because, as we all know, Austria is Diet Germany. So
oh my God.
He enjoys it.
I can't wait till you get yelled at in the comment section about this. I feel like I gotta start speaking Polish so people be like, I am not related to this man.
Let's do some predictions, shall we? Would you like me to go first?
Yes, please.
Because it's so hot, and even though they had secured a double podium in Canada, due to the temperatures in Austria, I do not think the Mercedes cars are going to perform well, which is why I'm putting the Ferraris in P5 and P4, Lewis Hamilton P5, Charles Leclerc P4. Max Verstappen, P3, I think he's going to continue to work miracles in what many consider to be a somewhat subpar Red Bull. I'm going to put Oscar, P2, and I'm going to put Lando, P1. I'm just like, I've dug such a deep hole where I'm Lando maxing the rest of the season. I'm going to continue to put Lando, P1.
Respected. I have Oscar P1. So we'll continue to Piastri Max.
As opposed to Max Maxing.
Of course. That's so a couple years ago. I do have Lando P2, Charles Leclerc P3, and I'm going back and forth between probably Max P4 and George P5.
Okay. Right on.
That's what I'm going for.
That makes sense. I dig
it. Wait, I forgot to talk about this in the beginning, but also because you said Carlos Sainz Jr., which made me laugh. Carlos Sainz Sr. has officially stopped running for FIA president, or will officially not run for FIA president. He's decided to focus on Dakar. And I was like, right on, buddy. Focus on that rally racing.
You do it.
You do it. I was like, man, this man just wants to win and keep winning.
We also had another IndyCar race.
Mm.
We had Pillow winning once again.
This domination could be so boring. Now, it was actually a really good race. I liked it at Road America.
Yeah. I was bummed because I was actually 2 hours away from Road America. I was in Chicago last weekend for a friend's 40th birthday. And I was like, do I leave my friends to go attend this race in Wisconsin? But my wife would have divorced me, so I couldn't do it. But Alex Pillow won once again. But we had a fun podium. Felix Rosenquist finished P2, and then Santino Ferrucci P3. There was, of course, the clip that IndyCar keeps reposting where somebody from the stands threw Santino Ferrucci a beer and he chucked it on the track. I'm getting a stink face from Ash right now, but I'm very happy for Felix Rosenquist. He is one of the nicest guys I've ever interviewed in motorsport, and super happy to see him back on the podium.
No, that's not what the stink face was about. Felix Rosenquist is a W in my book.
No. I know. I know. Okay. I know what the stink face was for. we also had Formula E in Jakarta. And we had Dan Ticktum winning his, I believe, first career Formula E E-Prix. So you go, Dan Ticktum.
That was a NASCAR Pocono. Dale Jr. won his first race as a crew chief for Connor Zilich, who won.
Oh, nice.
His first one on an oval as well. So that was pretty cool. We had Chase Briscoe winning at Pocono for the NASCAR Cup Series. JGR has won 18 times at Pocono. So that was great. We also had IMSA at Watkins Glen.
Six hours of the Glen, right?
6 hours of the Glen, baby. I love Watkins Glen. I can't wait to go again next year. I haven't been able to go in the past 2 years because of schedule stuff, but every year before that, for like for three or four, I went with like a group of people from the Discord and met up with people there. I love Watkins Glen. It's a nice upstate place.
It's on my bucket list. I definitely want to go to Watkins Glen sometime soon.
Also had 24 hours of the Nürburgring this past weekend, but now we have the 24 hours of Spa this weekend. It's the last 24-hour race in this month. We're almost there, everyone. It's been such a long month. It's so much racing, but we're so close. Just one more 24-hour race you got to stay up for, then we're all set.
And we also have the F1 movie coming out this week in theaters, which Ash and I attended the premiere for with KFC, a.k.a. Kentucky Fried Chicken. We had chicken mics on the red carpet, which were very fun. If you are interested, make sure to check out F1 the movie in theaters starting today globally. And I know there's some early screeners. This is the June 25th right now, we're recording this, but it officially comes out in the US June 27th. My wife and I are going to see it in IMAX on Friday at the Chinese Theater. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I'm excited to watch it with her. I'm going to wear my Apex GP jacket, which was gifted to me by Tommy Hilfiger, which makes me look either very cool or very lame, but I think I look cool.
James is really good at just throwing brands out during stream, and I'm here not ass-kissing.
Okay, y'all, I think that about wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening to the WTF1 podcast. Please join us next week when we will review the Austrian Grand Prix, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Support local, including racetracks.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.